and welcome into the matchup here on What's Up for Sports Gaming and everything in between. I am your host, Jake Patterson, and we have got a lot to talk about because it is almost March, and March this year, for the kind of content I talk about on this show, is going to be absolutely fucking insane. Because, like, it is just go, go, go from, what, like, the second full week? From really the beginning of March, because first full week of March, that's the weekend that's the week that ends on Saturday the 9th, so 2 weeks from now. First full week of March is the mid-major conference tournaments, which Liberty is going to be playing in. The following week is the major conference tournaments, which are, of course, important because more than likely your national champion is going to be coming out of there. And those are just generally really good games, depending on the conference. ACC is kind of shit this year, but like the Big East, the Big 12, and weirdly the SEC tournaments are actually going to be good. And of course, like the Big 10 is the Big 10. You get some fun out of that. Gus Johnson's calling the Big East games on Fox. Like, you can get some fun out of the major conference games. And then also that weekend that culminates in Selection Sunday, which is on St. Patrick's Day this year. All of that falls in the same weekend. That is also the Optic Halo Major. And then the following weekend, so the first week of the tournament, is also the Heretics Major for CDL. So the first three weeks of March is just sheer insanity. Because for the next couple weeks, it's just going to be go, go, go. Because obviously, like, you have the 2 weeks of conference tournaments, the Optic Major, the Heretics Major, first week of the tournament, second week of the tournament, final week of the tournament, and then April, and we get like a breather because I don't really give a shit about the Masters. I enjoy the Masters as someone who comes from a family of golfers, but I don't really watch it myself. It's just like a reminder of warm weather is kind of what I use the Masters as because of when it falls on the calendar every year. Then we get a little bit of a breather between, because the Toronto Major is not until May, and I believe the Quadrant Halo Major in London is also in May. So April, we get a bit of a breather. Like, baseball is going to start on March 28th, so there is that, but, like, talking about each individual game isn't really all that productive because there's so many of them. But, yeah, for the next couple weeks, like, this week and next week is the last big breather before just the insanity that will be the entire month of March. And I'm looking forward to it because I love March Madness. I love a good esports LAN. We get two of them back-to-back weeks, which is fine by me. I mean, two different games, and one I like playing a lot more than I like playing the other. But all that to say, geez, that was a long intro, even by my standards. That was a long intro. We got a lot to talk about, and we are going to start with college basketball. Because, like, once football season truly ends, like, the Super Bowl is over, then college basketball just starts to go absolutely batshit. Like, on Sunday, Ohio State beat Purdue. Florida Atlantic lost to South Florida. I mean, South Florida are first in the American, but they didn't make the Final Four last year. They aren't projected to make the Final Four this year. Did they actually make the Final Four last year? Because I keep saying that, and I'm pretty sure they did. 2023 Final Four was okay. It was Florida Atlantic and San Diego State and UConn Miami were the two Final Four games, and then UConn kind of demolished San Diego State in the championship game, which was a shame, but like, UConn was really freaking good last year, and they're really freaking good this year. So, like, even with the fact that they just got beat pretty handily by Creighton, but Creighton was shooting the frickin' lights out. They had home court. They're also a top 15 team. It's not like they're bad. They were shooting the lights out. They're loaded with veteran talent. And it was overall just like a perfect performance from Creighton. And that's why they won by 19, because they're still a good team. Let's talk about the fact that Tennessee needed a huge run to beat the absolutely pitiful Missouri Tigers, who are dead last in the SEC and have yet to win a conference game. Think about that. They have yet to win a conference game. Like, outside of the... let's check their... Let me check the SEC standings real quick, because it'll actually have their individual league record standings. SEC. Yeah, they're 8-18 overall. So, but they're 0-13 in conference. So without that conference record, like pre-conference play, they were a very respectable 8-5. It's not great, but no one expected them to be all that good this year. They're 0-13 in conference play. They have a 13-game losing streak. That's just sad. I mean, I think it's hilarious because when Liberty beat them, I think it was 2 years ago, their fans were all total dicks about it. So I think it's hilarious that they absolutely suck. It's like, oh yeah, I think it was either last year or the year before, but I remember that game and how absolutely obnoxious all the Missouri fans were when Liberty just went and beat their asses. Like, they came to Lynchburg and got their asses handed to them on a silver platter, and they got all butthurt about it and started talking shit about Liberty. Like, the fact that they are 8-18, I'm pretty sure they still have the same coach they had when they lost to Liberty. Oh god, it, like, Schadenfreude never goes away. When a team is a dick to you, like, sometimes you enjoy them. Like, I haven't even paid attention to the A-Sun at all, but, that's what I thought. Bellarmine is dead last in the A-Sun, and, I find great joy in that, because I fucking hate them. Like, we have left them, Liberty has left them so far in the dust, but the fact that they're dead last in a god-awful conference brings me immense pleasure. Like, that brings me such joy. It's not even funny. But yeah, it's that time of year. Number 11 Baylor lost at BYU, because the Big 12 continues to make no fucking sense. Because this guy, Khalifa, what's his? Ali Khalifa. Dude has averaged 6 points a game. He had seven, like, within the first not even 10 minutes. He was above his he was well above his season average before halftime. He almost had a triple double too. he had seven rebounds and seven assists. So he was like, if he put his foot on the gas a little bit more in the late game, he would have had a triple-double. Which would have been hilarious that this dude who averages 6 points a game, you know, had a triple-double against the team that just won a national championship, what, 3 years ago? Yeah, Baylor's national championship was 3 years ago. Right? Yeah. Yeah, because last year was UConn, year before was Kansas, year before that was Baylor. So yeah, a team that just won a national championship within the last 3 years got absolutely owned by a dude who averages 6 points a game in the Big 12. Because the Big 12 makes absolutely zero sense this year, and I'm very much looking forward to their conference tournament in a couple of weeks, because it's just going to be pure chaos, because all of them are playing on a neutral court. So, like, no... And, like, with the way the Big 12 is situated geographically, like, it's pretty central for every fan base. Like, every fan base can get to... Because I believe it's in Kansas City. I believe the Big 12 tournament is in Kansas City. Let me just check that real quick. Big 12 tournament 2024. Yeah, it's in Kansas City. That's what I thought. Like, given the shape of the Big 12 geographically, that's pretty centrally located, except for, like, West Virginia. Like, also, it's hilarious that it's in Missouri. It's on the Missouri side of the river. There are no Big 12 members within the borders of the state of Missouri. Like, there are no Big 12 members in Missouri at all. Like, the only major school in the state is Missouri, and they're in the SEC. Which, again, makes absolutely no fucking sense, but they've been there for, like, 10 years now, so it's kind of whatever. Like, that feels more natural, because it's been a thing for so long. And that was, like, around the time I started really getting into college sports was when Missouri joined, so it was, like, I've just always known Missouri is part of the SEC, even if Missouri is not in the Southeast. But, yeah, I'm very much looking forward to the Big 12 tournament, because I expect nothing but chaos. And, like, the Big East tournament always generates chaos just because it's at Madison Square Garden. And, like, weird things happen in that building. You know, just, like, the old, like, really iconic arenas, weird things happen there. Like, Madison Square Garden, Hinkle Fieldhouse, Assembly Hall in Indiana. Like, the Pavilion, the Palestra. Greensboro Coliseum, weirdly, like all of these really old Rupp Arena, Fog Allen Fieldhouse, like weird things happen there. Like, Kansas doesn't pull off a whole lot of upsets because they're usually the favorite, but they pull weird wins out of their ass all the time at Fog Allen. Like, watch enough Kansas games and you start to see a pattern. They pull weird things out of their ass at Fog Allen on a consistent basis. Or like Bridgestone Arena. Like, Vanderbilt aren't that good, but I feel like weird things happen there all the time because it's just such a weird place to play basketball. It's not that old, it's just weird. Because, like, the shot clock's off to the side, the court is elevated, so you've got, like, two rows of people that are under the court and they can just bang on it the entire game. The benches are on the baselines. It's a weird place to play basketball. They're not very good. But my God, is their venue unique. But there's another interesting thing that's happened this season. Gonzaga dropped out of the top 25, like, a month and a half ago. Actually, it's been longer than that. Gonzaga dropped out of the top 25, like, right after Christmas. Like, right around Christmas, they fell out of the top 25, and they have not gotten back in. Because, I mean, the West Coast Conference is pure ass. Like, St. Mary's is ranked, and for once, the conference is 100% theirs. Normally, the best they could hope for is tying with Gonzaga, but they're undefeated in conference play. Gonzaga's 10-2 in conference, 20-6 overall. But it's weird, like, they don't have the same good wins they normally have. Like, they're non-conference games where they legitimately challenge themselves. They lost them all this year. Like, they lost to Purdue. They lost to Washington. They lost to UConn. They got destroyed by UConn. They lost to San Diego State. Losing to Santa Clara definitely didn't help because they're not very good. They lost to St. Mary's, which was kind of the big one. And, I mean, always be afraid of Gonzaga. But they're going to be on, like if they get in, they're going to be on, like, that 8-9 line. They're one of Lenardi's last four in. And I don't put a lot of stock into what Lenardi says. Because, you know, he's the guy who fills out a million, who fills out, like, as many brackets as he possibly can and says, look, one of them was perfect. It's like, what about the other 20 where you were aggressively wrong? Like, that's, you know, that's a thing. Like, I don't put a whole lot of stock into what Lenardi says, but when he says Gonzaga on the bubble, I believe him. Because they haven't been as impressive this year. But I would still be very afraid of them. Because all they have to do is get in. And then, like, Mark Few is going to do his Mark Few thing. But this is something I didn't think I'd see until after he retired. Because we know he's not going anywhere else. Like, he's not going to go anywhere else. He's... like, why would he? Like, all in all, he's got a pretty easy job. Because, like, you're still Gonzaga. You can still reload after a down year. Like, he's just going to do his Mark Few. Like, they're still probably going to make the tournament. Because I'd be scared of them in the WCC tournament. Because it's in Vegas. The WCC tournament is in Vegas, which is hilarious. Given that the WCC is mostly, like, religious private schools. Like Gonzaga, St. Mary's, Pepperdine. These are all religious private schools. And they're going to spend a week in Vegas. I think that's genuinely hilarious. Like, I'm just picturing, like, Liberty players and fans having to spend a week in Vegas. Like, I know a few people among the Liberty fan base. Love them to death. They're great people. But, they would not be very comfortable spending a week in Vegas. I think I'd be okay. Like, I'd be good. I'd be able to navigate. But there are certain people among the Liberty fan base who would not do well in Vegas for a week. Now I'm going to be laughing about that for the rest of the day. But yeah, it is very clearly almost March. We're getting, like, major upsets every couple days. Like, we're getting pretty big time upsets every couple days right now. Like, as it stands tonight, there's a few chances. There's a few chances here. At time of recording, this one tips off in about an hour as I'm recording this. Illinois, Penn State. Illinois is only favored by 7.5. The Big Ten is fucking weird, as it usually is. Same thing at 7 o'clock with Miami playing Duke. Miami is below average this year, but hey, when Jim Larinaga wants to get his guys motivated, and when Miami's ready to play, they're ready to play. And I could see a scenario where they do maybe beat Duke. And that's not just because I want it to happen. It's going to sound like I'm incredibly biased here, but same thing with LSU-Kentucky. Like, I will shout it from the rooftops that I will never trust Kentucky on the road. They're only favored by 6.5. LSU is, again, below average this year, but... maybe they could pull it off. Like, there are major upsets every day, and that is three top 20 teams. One of them top 10. And, like, just the other two are just outside the top 10 and just outside the top 15. I don't think Marquette stands really any chance of losing. Their home, coming off a big loss against a bad team in DePaul. So I think Marquette will be okay. the Thursday games, Rutgers and Purdue, I don't see Rutgers pulling that off. Washington State, maybe if it was a home game, I could see them pulling off the win against Arizona. It's the Saturday games. Houston Baylor, Baylor could absolutely pull that off. They're pissed off, and they want to take it out on the best team in the Big 12, and the Big 12 is pure chaos this year. Virginia UNC, maybe they could pull that off on Saturday. I would love that. Nova UConn. UConn's going to beat the shit out of Nova. UConn's going to beat the shit out of Nova on Saturday. It's a home game. Nova's massively underachieved this year. Like, they're still very much feeling the effects of Jay Wright retiring. Like, UConn's going to beat the shit out of Nova on Saturday. But yeah, it is almost March. We are getting close to my favorite time of the year. Those first 2 days, like Thursday and Friday of the first round, just mwah, chef's kiss. Beautiful, beautiful, beautiful basketball. But that's what I got for college basketball. Up next, we are going to switch gears and talk some CDL. Coming up next, you're on the Mashup. Hey, do you really like the Mashup and want to help support it even more?
Of course I do. You're so awesome.
Well, do I have good news for you. I now have a Barstool Sports Store affiliate link.
Oh, what the heck is that?
An affiliate link is a link that takes you directly to the Barstool Store, but has some extra coding in it to let them know that I sent you, so I get some of the money from the sale in return.
That's so cool!
Yes, it is, and it helps me put out better and better content for you. And maybe does enough to get Barstool's attention that they'll give me a job. All you have to do is go to barstool-sports.pxf.io/themashup. That's barstoolsports.pxf.io/themashup and get some merch. Doesn't matter what you get, you'll be supporting me and the Mashup. And you get a cool t-shirt, hoodie, flag, or whatever else you want in return. So go to barstoolsports.pxf.io/themashup today and help me grow this podcast even more. All right, let's talk some CDL action. First week of Miami qualifiers have come and gone. And basically it just confirms everything we knew coming out of Boston. That Toronto are clearly better than everyone else. They have an absolutely unshakable mental. Rocker can just not put the pieces together. They keep getting so close and then they fall apart. They do it every year. Vegas are better than LAG. Not that that's saying a whole lot, because LAG are truly putrid. And Thieves are downright terrible. Thieves are just straight up terrible. They are bad, and they are making me and all of their other fans feel bad. Please open up Call of Duty so SSG can join, and I can pull for SSG and Call of Duty as well, because this is just sad. Those are obviously the main takeaways. Like, I felt so bad for Rocker when they got in a situation to force the clear best team in the league to a map 5 after being down 2-0, and then they just got completely destroyed on Invasion Search, which Invasion sucks. It's a terrible map. I hate playing it. I don't really like watching it, but they just got absolutely obliterated. And like that map 2 search, they were close. They got it to around 11. But don't stop chowing Toronto on Skid Row. Just stop chowing Toronto on Skid Row. We saw what they did to Seattle at the Major. Don't chow Toronto on Skid Row. They will murder you. Like, ban Skid Row in every mode. Ban Skid Row every time you play Toronto, because they will kill you. And it will not be pretty. They will absolutely destroy you. don't play Toronto on Skid Row. That is my advice to all 11 other teams of the CDL. Just ban that map. Auto-ban that map every time you have to play Toronto. That is my advice. And we were so close to a three-gun meta, but the GAs had to go and fuck everything up. Because, you know, can't have anything fun. Can't have anything fun in the Call of Duty League. But yeah, first week of qualifiers have come and gone. I'm hyped for a Miami Major because we have yet to see an event hosted in Miami in the CDL era. Like, the Mutineers 2020 event got canceled because the only ones we got to see were, what do we get to see? Minnesota Kickoff, London, Atlanta, and LA. That's all we got to see. We got to see Minnesota, London, Atlanta, LA. So it'll be nice to actually see a new city for a change, because we've had Boston 2 years in a row. We've had Toronto 3 years in a row. They put on a good show every time, but like, it's been 3 years of Toronto at this point. And 2 years of Charlotte. 2 years in Charlotte, 2 years in Boston, and 3 in Toronto. So, like, it's give us some new cities, COD League. Like, give up on this franchising shit next year and just go back to doing cities that are like centrally located. You know, go back to maybe do an event in Philadelphia. Please. I'd rather drive 1 hour to an event than 6. But my desperate pleading for an event close to home notwithstanding, I am looking forward to the Miami Major. I think they're going to put on a good show. This will definitely not be on my main screen. This will 100% be a laptop screen show. Because it's in exactly a month. That's weird to think about. It's in exactly a month, but this will 100% be a laptop screen show because, like, it's the first weekend of the tournament. Of course, that's getting the TV. Like, I'm going to be flipping between CBS, TBS, TNT, and True TV so much during those 4 days. The Major 2 gets the laptop. That is 100% certain. Like, there is not a single doubt in my mind that that's going to happen. But yeah, as far as this weekend is concerned, through Sunday, there's some interesting games here. Are NYSL back to playing like they are the world champions, considering they needed map 5 to beat Carolina? Probably not. They did reverse sweep them, like, but like you needed a reverse sweep against Carolina. I mean, they're playing other not great teams in. Who are they playing? So they're playing an okay team and a very good team. They're playing Boston on Friday and FaZe last game of the day on Sunday. That's an interesting weekend for them. I think they'll be happy with a split. They would obviously prefer 2-0 because they could use the standings points, because they did 2-0 last weekend. They 3-0'd Surge, who are, again, just as we thought, still absolutely terrible. God, remember when Surge were the Dark Horse team that would just randomly beat FaZe? They're not that anymore. They're just like the washed up team. Rocker and Optic could be interesting if Rocker bring what they did against Toronto in maps 3 and 4 anyway. At 2, 3, and 4, because they forced around 11 on map 2. If they bring what they did against Toronto in maps 2, 3, and 4, I think they can beat Optic, because Toronto is that much better than Optic that if Minnesota plays to the level they did against Toronto, they can win. It'll probably take 4 or 5 maps, but they can win. Heretics and Legion, that's just a battle of, like, it's just a battle of the mid. And then poor Vegas has to immediately turn around. First game on Saturday, they're playing Toronto. They're going to get stomped. LA Gorillas playing Optic. LA Gorillas are truly terrible this year. They're only slightly better than Thieves. They're going to get stomped by Optic. Thieves are going to get stomped by Miami. Last game of the day on Saturday. I have given up hope for them this season. Like, once last year's roster blew up, I knew this was going to be a rough year to be a fan of the Thieves, which is why I'm begging for COD to give up this stupid franchising model and let SSG join, because I'd much rather cheer for them. Never thought I'd see the day where I was willingly about to drop a team that wears black and red for a team that wears black and yellow. Never thought I'd see that happen, but here we are. And then FaZe versus NYSL, last game of the day, last game of the week, actually, on Sunday night. If NYSL played a championship form, that should be a good series. Like, that's a series I would want to see again on LAN. If NYSL are playing to the level we all know they're capable of, and not just violently succumbing to Champ's curse. But overall, after just 1 week of Major 2 qualifiers, I think we're going to see a lot of the same at Major 2. Like, Heretics will get the home crowd buff once we get to LAN. Like, Heretics will get that home crowd buff, even though they, well, I mean, like, they all speak Spanish, but I'm pretty sure they all speak English, too. And, like, there's enough of a Spanish-speaking population in Miami that I'm excited for the cheers in Spanish that people will be able to get away with, because it is an English-language broadcast. Like, I'm excited for some of the Spanish language insults we're going to hear from the crowd in exactly a month. See, this was a correct city choice, CDL. Miami in March. That's before it gets too miserably hot. Unlike Boston in January. And same thing with, like, Toronto in May. Toronto in May is perfect. And Charlotte in June, too. Like, I don't know why they were... Like, just switch the two. Just put Miami first. Because Miami in January wouldn't be that bad. And then you get Boston in March, which is, like, beautiful. Boston in late March is beautiful weather. And then Toronto and Charlotte can stay the same. I don't understand who made the schedule for the CDL this year. Because stop with the winter events in Boston. You got lucky this year. You're not going to get lucky again. It's going to be more like last year, where it was so freaking cold. The casters had to warn people not to line up too early so they didn't get frostbite. It's going to be cold as fuck again if you do another winter event in Boston. But yeah, This feels like the first time in the CDL era where, really since Cold War, because FaZe were absolutely dominant during Cold War, but I barely count half of that season because only two of its majors and champs were on LAN. And only one of those two majors had a crowd. The last major and champs are the only thing I consider, like, true CDL play during the Cold War scene. Because, like, you had awesome moments. You had, like, they line up for accuracy. I wish that would have happened on LAN. Like, even without a crowd, if that had happened on LAN, oh my god. But with a crowd, good lord. That would have been insane. But, like, think of the best moments from the Cold War season. They all happened at Major 5, didn't they? Like, FaZe getting knocked out super early by Surge in the loser's bracket, and the Rocker Resurrection. Those are the two main moments I think of when I think of the CDL season. It's those two moments, and they line up for accuracy. Two of those three events happened at Major 5. They didn't happen at Champs. I think this is the first time in the CDL where it's going to be LAN all season, or you're going to have true LANs all season long, where one team is just going to absolutely dominate. Like, Toronto... Like, as it stands right now, Toronto's still my pick to win Miami. They're absolutely my pick to win their home event. You might get some chaos in Charlotte because it's right before Champs, so teams like a Toronto and a FaZe who have more than likely already qualified by then will take their foot off the gas a little bit, and you can get some chaos there. And then Toronto's going to win the whole thing. Like I'm going to drop a futures bet on Toronto winning the whole thing as soon as I possibly can before the odds drop too low. Because as of right now, I'm sure the odds are still pretty good. I'm gonna check that. Let's see what the odds are for Toronto to win the whole thing as a futures bet. And might do my picks for if the lines are up, I'll do my CDL betting picks for this weekend too. No, not on here. I don't want to hear it all. What the frick? Did DraftKings get rid of esports? What the fuck, guys? Well, that's annoying. That's really annoying. All right. So, I'll have to wait till, DraftKings gets their shit together and puts Call of Duty back, and just esports in general, back on their app. They might usually put them out on Thursdays. They'll probably be out tomorrow. Hopefully. Because I like doing my picks every week, even if I usually don't bet on them. But assuming I can, I'm absolutely going to put a futures bet on Toronto to win the whole thing. Because that's... No, not going to say it. Not going to jinx it. But if you want my advice, put a... if you can access esports betting, put a futures bet on Toronto to win the whole thing. That's a very smart bet. But that's what I got for the Call of Duty League. Up next, we're sticking with esports. It is a gaming-heavy episode. We are... going to switch over to the HCS because their event is actually coming up sooner than the CDLs. So we'll get into that up next here on the Mashup. Okay, HCS time. Because anyone who has listened to this show knows I like the HCS a whole lot more than I like the CDL. Because I have an actual team that I like cheering for, like Thieves. Thieves with that like... whole social media thing with Clay's tattoo and the L, like that really burned me on them. And they're not all that good. And they've 100 Thieves as a whole have stopped acting like 100 Thieves. And SSG are doing a lot of the stuff that I originally liked 100 Thieves for. So it's good to have SSG in the HCS because I do genuinely really like being a fan. And speaking of SSG, they're looking good right now. I know you can't take online play as gospel. Like you have to look at the entire whole. Like you have to look at the everything of online. You can't just take one weekend, but they've won two of them. They've won two out of the three HCS Open Series. So far, like they're in a very good position heading into Arlington, and this better be a better event than last year's Arlington was, or Optic should never be allowed to host a Halo event again. Like straight up, if they botch this one too, never let them host a Halo event again. Like I don't care how much their fans cry. If they botch another one, they're not allowed to host events anymore. Just how it is. Because I expect the other three, I expect Quadrant Phase and obviously SSG to pop off when it comes to, because last year SSG hosted the best Halo event ever, and it wasn't even a major. So now they're going to be able to put more money, put it in a bigger venue, and go even crazier. Like, I want to go to that event so bad. Even though there is no feasible way to pull that off, I want to go to that event so bad because I know it's going to be absolutely insane. But as it stands right now, the HCS is still very much dominated by the big three. SSG, Optic, FaZe. I don't know why I put them in that order when last year's standing order was FaZe, Optic, SSG. But yeah, it's like they're still the big three for a reason. But the fact that SSG finally learned how to play Slayer, because that was a big issue. It was a big issue last year that they could not win their Slayers. Like, they could not win Slayer against FaZe and Optic. It was very annoying as a fan, but they have since learned how to play Slayer, and they play it really aggressively, which is even better because Optic and FaZe tend to play that mode very slow, and SSG do not do that, which I'm good with. I hate that we don't have Empyrean Slayer this year, because, like, it's the pit. It's one of my favorite Halo maps ever. I enjoy watching games played on that map. Like, obviously, it's an incredible CTF map. It's a better CTF map than it is a Slayer map, but I just like watching games on that map, okay? It's aesthetically pleasing. It's got a lot of opportunity for Halo-induced stupidity. But at the same time, now we have live fire with two power items, so... Like, sure, you got rid of the heat wave. You added a quantum translocator. Like, the heat wave's not really a power weapon. Like, it's a tier 2 weapon, obviously. It should never be a starting weapon. But the heat wave is not technically a power weapon. It's real close, just like the Stalker is. It's real close, but it is not technically a power weapon. But they got rid of that and added a quantum translocator to a map that already has Overshield. Sure. And once you use Overshield, it clears up your inventory slot. So if you do it right, and you control the map properly, you can get OS, run over, grab Quantum, and have an Overshield and a Quantum Translocator for probably about... You'd probably get it for about 20 seconds. You'd probably get about like 15, 20 seconds of overlap, but still, that overlap would be insane. Or if you just like hold on... This is a strat you could probably pull in ranked, is just hold on to OS forever, pop it, grab Quantum, and then you have both. Like, if your team is good enough to pull this off, like, only do this if you're playing with friends. Only do this if you're playing with a 4-stack. But grab OS, hold on to it, get out, get over, grab Quantum, or get over to Quantum when it spawns, pop OS, and then you have both. Only do that with a 4-stack. Please, for the love of God, don't rely on randos to pull this off. Only do this if you are 4-stacking. I feel like Complexity is going to try to pull something like that. That sounds like something Rhino would do. Like, Complexity is going to try to pull some insane shit like that. To just get Overshield and Quantum onto the same player and just see what happens. That is something Rhynoob would absolutely come up with. So I'm looking forward to when Complexity attempts that at Arlington, because they're absolutely going to save that for LAN. And I'm looking forward to the crowd reaction when they pull off something that absolutely stupid. Probably against some poor open bracket team. Because, like, you're not going to do that against one of the big dogs. Like, you're not going to do that against even, like, a Sentinels or a Native. Like, you're going to have to do that against, like, they're partnered, but a Cloud9. I wouldn't even attempt that against a Quadrant. Like, you would have to attempt that against an open bracket team. That's the only way you're pulling that stupidity off. But speaking of Native, I still think they can, if they can get the chemistry to work, because, like, as it stands right now, they have a very good roster. APG, Collect, Mikwin, and Barco. Like, that's a good roster. And I think they will do a, like, if they can, assuming they can get the, my brain is totally blanking. Assuming they can get the chemistry to actually work, they're going to go insane. They're going to pop off. Like, guaranteed, they're gonna pop off. Just, they need to get the chemistry right. They need to get the chemistry to work. Only way this team works out is if they have the chemistry. Because Native have struggled with that a bit so far this year. Not naming any names, but, you know, Neptune. They have struggled with the chemistry, so hopefully they get along better with Barcode. And I will leave it at that. And not elaborate any further. Because really, Barcode's like Barcode was like their third choice, because they wanted that other guy who was blanking on his name, but he got completely poached by G1. And like the guys from HCS Pro Talk said, I hope to God he has every single thing in writing. Like, I hope he has everything written down. Because G1 still owes a lot of people a whole lot of money. So they need to get that straightened out. But yeah, I think this year it's gonna be very similar to last year, where you have like the big three, and then you have maybe like two to four teams that are right below them, like that second tier, who can occasionally, like, if conditions are absolutely perfect, then a LAN can still upset one of the big three. And I think that's Native, that's Sentinels, that's Quadrant, and that's maybe Complexity. Just because Rhynub has such a high gameplay IQ. And like, if he executes his batshit insane strats perfectly, they can pull off something crazy. And like, Complexity has a good roster too. It's not just Rhynub. Like, they have a good team. So yeah, very much looking forward to the Optic Major. Hope they don't botch it like they did last year, where it was just one of the worst Halo events ever. So yeah, that's what I got for the HCS. And to wrap this up, let me slip into character for a second. To the Helldivers protecting us on the front line. You are not forgotten. The bots are screwing with our ability to join the fight, but know that the rest of us are with you. We will not let these worlds fall the way Reach and Cadia fell. We are with you. And once we get the all clear to join the fight, we will have your backs. And we will push that metal filth back to where they belong. Okay, out of character. Helldivers 2 has popped the fuck off, and I absolutely love that for them. That, like, they need to get their servers fixed. But the fact that the biggest problem with your game is that too many people are trying to play it, and you didn't expect that? Pretty good problem to have. And they've like worked on server stability and server capacity. That's a big fix. That's a big fix that's gonna take a couple patches And once it does, like, I have a PS5. I'm going to join the fight. It looks like so much fun. And it's got crossplay, so I can play with all my friends who have PC. But, like, please, Sony. Once you get all the servers and everything straightened out, please let the Xbox players join. They are, like, you could single-handedly end the console wars. Like, obviously, like, Hi-Fi Rush, Sea of Thieves, and those two other indie games are going to be on PlayStation and Switch very soon. But, like, an entire community has sprung up around this game that can't even play it. It's all the Halo players who want to play Helldivers because they've been begging for an ODST game for another ODST game for a decade. And Helldivers looks to scratch that itch perfectly because you've got the cool helmets, you got the cool drop pods, you've got the maybe fascist government, and in Helldivers, you get capes. Only thing you're missing is Nathan Fillion. But, like, speaking of ODST, I don't know if it's their fault, but I will choose to blame Frank O'Connor, especially Frank O'Connor, because he's the guy who just actively fucking hates Halo. Kiki Wolfkill and Bonnie Ross for the guy's name is Kevin, but I want his full name. It was the guy who worked at 343 for a few years. Where the heck is it? Did I scroll past it in my Discord already? It's Helldivers. I must have not posted it in here. But yeah, even if it's not their fault, I will continue to choose to blame them. Because it's just easier to blame the ultimate enemies of the Halo community, aka the three of them. Like, all these Halo games that got pitched over the past few years, and all of them got rejected. It's like, including a game that's almost identical, an ODST game that's almost identical to Helldivers. And even if it was someone even higher up at Microsoft that rejected it, I will choose to blame those three. Because, as far as I'm concerned, they were everything that was wrong with 343 for a decade. And I am so glad they no longer work there. Especially Frank O'Connor, because that dude actively hates Halo. But yeah, please, for the love of God, Sony, let the Xbox players join in the fight to spread democracy across the galaxy. And Star Wars Battlefront Classic got announced today, which that looks absolutely insane. Like, hey, 64-player online play, remake of the two of the best Star Wars multiplayer games ever made. Actually, they are the, as far as multiplayer games go in the Star Wars franchise, they are the best, because the only ones that are better than them are Fallen Order and Survivor, which are both single player. And, like, they're also working on a Mandalorian game. Thank God EA lost the Star Wars license, because they made exactly two good games with it. They lost the Star Wars exclusivity after making exactly two good games with it over the course of 10 years. So, and now we're getting Outlaws, we're getting a Mandalorian game, we're getting remasters of the two original Battlefront games with cross-platform play enabled. God, that's going to be fun. I cannot wait to play that. That's going to be so much fun. And, like, they're adding a couple new heroes in. They're adding some new maps. Full 64-player online. That's going to be insane. I cannot wait to play that. I'm excited for Helldivers to get their servers fixed so I can play that too, because I'm, like, very close to finishing Cyberpunk. And I want to have something to play once I finish Cyberpunk. because I've been playing that for the last like 2 months and I'm gonna need something new when I'm done. But that's what I got for this episode. Hope you all enjoyed. I hope you all enjoy the rest of your week, and I will talk to you guys next time. Till then, peace.